What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday to you. Thursday always throws me. It's one of my favorite days because, you know, Friday.
It's basically a Friday.
It's basically a Friday.
It's Friday Eve.
Yeah.
Little Friday.
It's the Friday of the weekdays.
Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Little Friday, a.k.a. Thursday.
But it always throws me a little bit. Feels a little bit like Wednesday, you know.
Oh, it is almost throws day.
So thank awful. You to Capital Grille last night for hosting me and Wheels and Bernie Miklas. I was paying off a gambling debt.
That's
what you get
it,
for
though,
betting on
it?
Mike Tyson.
That was some bet.
Yeah.
It was worth it, though. That was fun.
I'm glad it was. Glad you enjoyed yourself.
Worth it for me and Bernie.
No, really great. They took great care of us. Thanks to Natalie and Mike and everybody there. It was great. It was really fun, wasn't it?
It was amazing. And I talked to Bernie. We just finished the Gas House Gang a little bit ago. I talked to him at the beginning of that, and he just had so much fun.
You know I did.
We hang out all the time. We don't always get a chance to hang with Bernie.
It's the quietest I've seen you.
Yeah.
I was
listening to Bernie.
Yeah, you were nursing that steak.
Dude, Bernie's got stories too, man. Why? I'm not interrupting that.
No. I was like Chris Farley. I'm like, remember when you used to write for the Post?
That was awesome.
How many games do you think you've seen?
No, I wanted to listen too, man. I was having a great time.
So given Wheels and his crab fetish and Burn being from Maryland, we had like three orders of crab to start. And I was talking about that this morning and in the office. And then Andrew chimed in with his Schnucks crab purchase, which really confounded Wheels.
It blew my mind.
Stop talking. Let's save it for the air. This may go nowhere, but it seemed like a pretty good fight was percolating.
I don't know about a fight. I was just intrigued because I've never heard of such a thing.
The vibe was not intrigued. Am I right, Dave? The vibe was
aggressively
fury.
Intrigued.
Yeah, the vibe was fury.
Furiously intrigued.
No, it wasn't. It was actually doubt because I've never heard of such a thing where they are going to like shell the crab for you at the store.
Well, I didn't like watch him do it. I didn't like stand there and watch a guy deshell the crab, but it was like deshelled crab leg meat.
Yeah.
But it was real.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that fake
surimi.
The whatever they call it.
Imitation crab.
Yeah, surimi, I believe, is the name for
I think it's crab with a K.
That crap.
Andrew, are you talking
it's
about
Mr. Crab?
Like the black styrofoam and then the legs and then the saran wrap?
Yep.
Yeah. So what's the objection? Why I don't get it.
No,
it wasn't.
There's a real Schnucks head right there.
No. It wasn't an objection.
You're talking about aisle 7.
Were you there yesterday? I saw you.
I actually was there yesterday.
I have never seen at a store where they have just like crab meat that's fresh that they pulled out of the shell for you. I've seen it where they have crab legs. You just buy crab legs.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know how like fresh. Like, they taste great. I don't know if they're like fresh caught and then they deshell them or whatever. If they're frozen from another product.
Do you have to
and
crack anything when you get it home? I've never seen that. That's awesome.
Nope.
I got to investigate that.
Do they take fake crab and shape it into a crab leg?
They do sometimes.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Very much. Yeah.
Oh,
but
so
I believe
I can't testify as to whether or not these are real
and
legs or not.
It's so gross how they do it. but it's really good.
Is it? I don't like it.
I think it tastes pretty good. Like, I used to get it on salads all the time before I knew it was fake crab.
I loved it.
I think it's mostly made of, like, pollock.
Yeah,
the fish pollock, yeah.
I've had about 4 pounds of this stuff in the past 2 weeks. I'm 90% sure it's real. If it ain't
How expensive is it?
Still good. I got four packages for $20.
I think
How much is each package? Like, weight-wise?
About a pound.
Oh, that's not real crab.
So there's little leg molds, like a muffin pan?
I've seen them it. They kind of roll it like cigars.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it does. It looks exactly like the long crab meat. So if you get like the long part of the leg and you break it,
it looks too perfect.
It had skin on it. It had like crab
red
skin.
Colored. Yeah.
No. Well, you don't know.
Painted on.
Like a
is it the red dye
coral
number
color
three?
On it? Like a streaks going through it?
Dude, you bought fake crab
meat. It's okay.
You know, if you like it, it's good. It's just fish.
Tastes good.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
They shelled it for me.
It's meant to trick you.
Yes.
No, so don't feel bad.
Don't you feel bad.
It's supposed to.
Little Bucky.
I feel really bad.
You've been taken in by the world's oldest scam.
I mean, let's be honest.
I feel unbelievably bad about
it. Not prostitution.
You shouldn't, because if you liked it, then it's good, right?
Yeah.
Number two, that's not a crazy price. That's a very reasonable price for a nice seafood dinner.
And you're not the only one eating imitation crab.
I feel like I bought like a house, and then when we opened the door to the house, that like there were no walls or ceiling or floor,
just like an old Western town.
Yeah. So like I feel like you guys are like, honey,
this is why I was confused when you brought it up, because I had never heard of anybody actually taking the crab meat out of the crab legs at a store and then selling it that way.
Well, we brought him back down to earth.
Yeah,
we popped his bubble.
Do you still have any left?
No, although we ate the last of it on Sunday.
Okay.
Is it possible to get an entire leg out of the crab?
Yes.
Really?
What?
When you crack the shell?
Yeah, I thought you like pulled out like pieces.
Not
I
if
know
you do it right.
Oh. Yeah, can you take like a whole...
No, it's not one long thing.
Crab.
No, it's each section.
It's segmented.
Each section is that.
Do they sell it as one long thing or is
no, it's sold as a section. It's sold as like a chunk.
Right.
Like... Yeah, like a chunk.
Okay. Like it should look.
Okay.
Yay, long-ish.
Yeah. Were they all the same?
Yeah.
No, why fake. Do they sell it as one long leg?
Because it's not possible, Amy.
So, like, for example...
Have you ever seen a crab? Have you ever heard of joints?
Yeah. So, as an example, like, I buy...
It'd be like if we shucked you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can pull the whole chicken thigh and leg together, and they have joints.
What? Oh, okay. I don't know what to do with
Well, they don't
now.
Have bones, though. Crabs.
The crab.
Right, they have an exoskeleton.
The bones are on the outside.
They have joints. They have an exoskeleton.
Right, but I'm saying maybe that's
happening?
The difference.
How are we having a conversation about what the inside of a crab looks like?
I don't know. It's fun,
Doesn't
though.
Everybody know this?
Yeah.
She stopped everyone with her chicken representation.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's like, what does that even mean?
You can pull a breast and a thigh together.
Dude.
Well, anyway.
I knew it'd be good.
Anyway,
that's funny.
I don't eat a lot of crab.
Schnucks Butcher Bundle. Go get it. It's really good.
Schnucks Butcher Bundle.
Yeah. It's like four meats for $20. You can like mix and match them. I do it every time I go there.
You guys ever watch Deadliest Catch?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've seen it.
Could you
not
could
regularly.
You go out there?
Not wouldn't
just want like you not have to do anything, just be on the boat
just
while they're doing
the
all the work.
Could I? Yes. Would I choose to? No.
I mean, I could do it. If I'm not doing anything, I could do whatever.
Like if you said, we'll give you $5,000, sure.
Yeah.
I
would have a hard time.
I would too.
I couldn't
just
now.
Of the stinky?
No, not the stinky.
The waves
but the,
and
just
stuff.
The
it's wild,
God, yeah. Those boats sink.
Yeah, and what if they come up against a bigger boat? I mean, come on.
Oh, that would tear. I have megalophobia.
Yeah.
There's a word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but
you
this
got big
was...
big boatitis.
Well...
I like big boats that I can... Okay.
It's not the same as the crab in boat, but I did go deep sea fishing once when I was like 12. I think my dad signed us up for something that we didn't know what it was.
Yeah, you didn't go out to the Bering Sea.
But it wasn't the Bering Sea, but I do know the boat was just like pitching straight down and straight up, and you had to like buckle in because you were being thrown about. And all I remember is everyone was throwing up.
Yeah, they had
up.
That ride at Six Flags.
Everyone was throwing up, yeah. Except I wasn't, because I think I was too young to know I was supposed to be seasick. I think I would actually die now. I really think I would die.
Yeah.
Only been seasick once. Probably the worst I've ever been
really?
Sick. Yeah.
I've heard it's awful.
It was bad.
Yeah, it's not like you decide to get seasick, right? I mean, like, it's a biological reaction.
You don't get better. It's not like eating something and throwing up and you're better. You could be sick for
the whole
36 hours if you're...
Yeah, we're in Cancun and took the ferry, big ship, over to Cozumel and totally fine. And then coming back, and it was a big ship, like hundreds of people on this ferry, and went down. I wasn't feeling so great. Went down into the bottom of the boat where they were showing skydivers on a big screen.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, you can imagine all the different juxtapositions in your head. So I told Marina, I'm like, I'm going to go upstairs, get some air, try to get into a bathroom, and karma, there was a guy in there.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to the back of the boat. And it was seemed to be a bunch of local people, like not tourists, and they were just up chucking everywhere.
Oh.
And so in my brain, I'm just like, if the local people who ride this every day are getting sick, I'm just going to get sick.
What kind of boat was it again?
Ferry.
Okay.
Like a big, you know.
Gotcha, I gotcha.
Looks like a little small oil tanker.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good size boat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it wasn't like, it was just, you know, just kind of slowly moving.
Yeah.
I've never gotten seasick, but I've thought about it so much now that I wonder if I would the next time I get on
the
boat.
You'd think yourself into it.
Yeah, I feel like I've talked myself into getting seasick.
Yeah. I thought it was much more just like an equilibrium thing, that it's not psychological, it's actually a physical reaction.
I think you can talk yourself into it.
Oh, yeah, it is, you can talk yourself into being sick. You can walk, like, I can
do it right now.
I could be totally fine.
In fact, I don't feel very good.
I know. But also, I can do that with any kind of sickness. It's a great skill. Like, I could be totally fine, and then I find out that the person I talked to today had a sore throat. And
oh,
I'm like, I think I'm getting a sore throat.
I'm going to call it sick tomorrow.
Yeah, I do.
I'm bad about that.
She's going to start talking like Marge.
That was so, like, I'm with sick. COVID, that was terrible because I'm like that. You know, I had COVID 18 times. No one tested positive once.
Does anybody get carsick?
No.
Okay. No, but yes now. And I heard that it is true. I didn't make it up. After you, like, in your 40s, you can become way more sensitive to motion sickness. Like, if you were able to ride roller coasters when you were younger, you might not be able to post 40. And I've never had car sickness, except for I never really could read. I couldn't read a book in a car. Mm. I could never do that. But I've noticed.
Andrew can do it while he drives.
I know, which is probably the best way to not get sick, because you're looking at the horizon and you're reading.
Yes.
But I've noticed.
I've mastered the motion.
I've noticed, Andrew, I've become more sensitive to getting car sick, and it's awful. I'm like, why am I feeling nauseated?
That
right
happened
now?
To my mom, I think. I think she got as she got older she got super sensitive to.
Yeah.
There's only one person in the whole world that makes me car sick. Everybody else is fine. I didn't even know it was a thing that could happen to me. But my dad's friend Chuck is such a bad driver,
jerky,
in my opinion. Yeah. Other people don't necessarily think so. But he really slams those turns, man.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Chuck.
I've heard I make people cry.
I mean, I told him this before. But like we're all, me and my dad.
He's like, I'm calling you out, Chuck.
Me and my dad and Chuck were going to a hockey game in a couple of weeks. Ooh. And everything was going smooth in the planning. And Dad's like, yeah, we can all fit in Chuck's truck, I think. I was like, oh, I'm out.
My worst driver's on his way here right now.
Really?
Michael Kelly.
Oh, that's right. You just said that the other day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
I've not been in his car for long stretches, but I didn't know anything. Well, his car accelerates fast, and he likes to do that.
It's a literal tank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks like you could go to war with that thing.
Yeah, it's got a turret.
It was like being on one of those car rides at Six Flags, but the kid driving it has no arms, and you're just like clang, 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 clang.
I mean, if I remember right, when he drove us back from the ballpark one day, I do remember him navigating the garage here very, very swiftly and tightly. Like, like if somebody had been coming the other way, we would have met them head on, and Michael's car would have won.
We would have met them.
Yeah, we'd have been okay.
Yeah.
Still a little uncomfortable.
I've been in this car. Maybe I'm immune to car sickness.
Could be.
Yeah.
Can you read?
I am. I don't get sick.
Not like Andrew.
So. Mine was less sickness and more fear of death.
Were you gripping real tight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, Andrew, what do you consider?
When we used to ride with Trish and she'd be like screaming and cussing out everybody.
That was the best. That was the best.
The all time was when we saw the guy that was like laying sprawled out on the side of the road.
There was a guy dying on the side of the road and someone was giving him CPR and Trish didn't clock that. And so she's coming around the corner and there's just like a little slowdown. She's like, oh, for the love of God, what's this now? Yeah. Who's this guy? What's this guy got going on?
She goes, what's this now?
I'm like, I think he's having a heart attack.
Like, he's dying, Trish.
Oh. Is that Kevin? I mean,
that's not far off.
Have you two been in the car together?
Yeah.
You and Trish?
Yeah, but it was all of us together.
Yeah.
Just drove
that time that you tried to get in the fight with the guy hauling metal rods really upset me.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was right outside of Dow 10. And we all rode back with you because we wanted to ride in the Camaro for the first time. And the guy in front of us had a huge truck with metal rods, and it was kind of obstructing the road. And you were, like, rolling the window down, and you're like, get out of the way, chicken!
He's like, who's this guy? I'm like, he's evidently a guy hauling metal rods, which is one of the guys you don't want to fight.
This was after you tried to punch the bus driver outside Ballpark Village.
Oh, stop exaggerating, Ron.
No, I was
You guys are sounding
terrified.
Like a bunch of wimps, man.
I was
like,
terrified.
God almighty.
I remember? Thought you were going to die.
Yeah,
the problem is, me and Dave and Rachel are all, when it comes to strangers, we're very non-confrontational. We don't want to get in a fight. We don't want to get an altercation. We just want to have our lunch, go back to work, have our day. You know, we don't want to, like, you know, if somebody is daring to do something like be in a car in front of our car, we don't necessarily want to, like, threaten them. But Kevin is like,
no.
Kevin
no,
is like, hey, stay in the car. I'm going to go handle this.
Hey, I am 53 years old and I've never been in a fight in those situations. So don't act like I'm out here looking for fights.
Because no one in their right mind would fight you.
Yeah, because I'm so scary at 4'8".
You're like a Wolverine.
But you're thick.
Yeah, you are thick.
Yeah. Doesn't matter whether you're standing up or on your side.
Yeah.
No, like I said, I could punch you as hard as I could, and I would break my hand, and you would be like, oh.
Yeah, probably. What's that?
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Pull that meat right out then. Of her arm.
Wait, damn.
125 DGS. So everyone's excited about the Eagles in the playoffs, and the mayor of Philadelphia was leading the citizens in a chant.
Well, listen, we've got to do this. Let me hear you all say, E-L-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Go Jays!
Elksus.
Got a couple of those letters transposed.
Was it E-L-G-E-S?
Hear it again.
Here.
Well, listen, we've got to do this. Let me hear you all say, E-L-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
O-E-S?
E-L-G-S-E-S.
I guess she said L.
Yeah, she said,
said E-L-G-S-E-S. O-E-S or
S-E-S?
S-E-S. Oh, my God.
Elksus.
Yeah, close enough. You know what she meant.
Here, I gotta listen to it one more time because I want to hear what people
Everybody
in the background.
Everybody knows that in Philly it's spelled I-G-G-L-E-S.
Eagles.
All right.
Well, listen, we've got to do this. Let me hear you all say, E-L-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
They all said it right.
Yeah, they were trying in the background. They're like, yeah, it's
E-L-G-S-E-S.
Yeah.
Elksus.
Mayors, am I right?
Elksus.
Here's what we had on the old sporting news radio days. We had a guy in Manhattan named Jerome in Manhattan. He's just crazy goofy. And one year the Red Sox lost, and he was so happy because he's a Yankees fan. And he was like, they're done. D-O-E-N. Done.
There was Illinois football coach. I think it was Tim Beckman.
That guy was a winner.
I can't remember, but he, you know, he had his press conference, and he's like, football coaches love acronyms. So his acronym was WIN, whatever is necessary today. Like, wint?
Wint?
That's wint.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 134. I was just saying to guys, asking them, what percentage of the time do you feel about 30 IQ points down from your average? And they're kind of telling me, and I am I'm having one of those days. And it's fine. It's fine. We'll get through it. But it always makes me think about real people, like surgeons. You know, they have to have days like this. You know, you have a fight with your spouse, or you just don't sleep well, or just idiosyncratic. You just throw one of these. We'll get through this, but if we're doing a four-hour surgery, I wonder if they just keep on going. Oh.
What else could you do?
Tell them you're having a bad brain day.
All right, hold on, where's the brain? I don't know how you would do that. That's just, and I think a lot of surgeons are on for multiple days in a row, right? Like, aren't they on for like 24, 48 hours sometimes straight? I mean, they get some rest in the middle, but...
Leaning over to the nurse, like, which one's the brain?
Yeah.
And I know this is a vast oversimplification, but to them, that's what they do. Just like, this is what we do. Like,
maybe they're
right.
It's routine to them, not even though it's crazy intense and it's crazy. Like, they do it all.
You think the surgeons are in there opening someone up? And he's like, man, what if you had to do a radio show?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that.
I do. I think they think it all the time. They're like, can you imagine if we had to talk for 4 hours?
We had to talk for 4 hours straight.
Yeah.
I'd much rather be doing this surgery than opining about stuff I know nothing about
for
2 hours. But people do. This is not public speaking. Actual public speaking in front of a crowd, it is like people's number one biggest fear, other than death.
A lot of people are more afraid of it than above death. I'm not joking. I think in most recent poll results,
I think you're right.
More people feared public speaking than death.
I fear the smaller the crowd, the more I fear it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I've spoken in front of some big crowds, a few thousand people. It's like one big person.
Yeah.
But you get 50 people, you can see those faces. You can.
Oh, my gosh. Before I was in radio, I would do book signings. And anyone who's ever done book signings knows you get book signings where like 7 people show up. Sometimes you have 100. Sometimes you have 7. And the ones with 7 people were so much worse. You're like making eye contact with people. You don't even know what you're
going to
say.
It's like having dinner.
Yes, it's like having dinner. The more people, the better.
I have a question. It's a political question, and it's sort of an existential question. We do this pretty much every day in the 1 o'clock. But the system that we have now, like, for example, when I was a lawyer, it's very adversarial by nature. You have a defense attorney and a prosecutor. You have a plaintiff's attorney and a defense attorney. And you can't lie, but you spin things within the rules of ethics and procedure. And then a trier of fact, either a judge or a jury, makes a decision. I believed you more than I believed this guy. And we sort of have that with the two-party system now, and the Democrats and the Republicans, and going at each other, and in recent memory, fighting for every inch they can get and not really compromising, is sort of like we talked about yesterday a little bit. Is this the natural evolution in your mind to the way that we govern ourselves? Is it an interim? Can you imagine something much better, whether we could get there or not, but it would be a much better system? Or is this about as good as it's going to get? Thoughts?
Well, I kind of feel like it's as good as it's going to get. And if we want it to be better, individual people just need to pay closer attention to politics. I talk about this a lot because I believe in it. I know everybody has busy lives, things going on. You know, you got kids, you got practice, you got your job, whatever. But I still think it's sort of on all of us to pay as close attention as we possibly can to the politics that's happening around us, because I think it's, the thing that sucks about the system is a lot of people aren't participating, and then maybe 2 weeks before the election, they start looking into it a little bit, which isn't enough time to really know what's been going on for the months leading up to an election. So a lot of people make uninformed decisions on both ends. It's not just one party that does it. I think we'd all be better off if we all paid closer attention. But as far as the system goes, it's about as good as it's going to get. It's just it's up to us to make it better.
Interesting.
I don't think you need a better structure, but you got to close all the stinking loopholes. I mean, we could very easily straighten this out if anybody in positions of power cared more about what's right as opposed to what's good for them. I mean, take money out of elections.
Oh, that absolutely.
I mean, and again, I don't mean completely, but like, instead of it being about who can have the largest war chest, it should be who can make the best arguments. And we know that incumbents have such a huge re-election rate for two reasons, because they usually have the bigger war chest and they have the name that everybody recognizes. We could limit in some ways, and again, we have to talk about how, but in some ways you can limit terms so that you're not there for 40 years. You know, I'm not saying it has to be 3 years. You know, you got to have some people that have been around a little bit. But if you can get a little bit more change, take it away from lobbyists and giant corporations who can spend billions of dollars to get their way, you could do it with the structure. The structure's fine. It's like we always talk about the House has good bones, but we got a lot of drafty rooms and a lot of windows that need replacing, and it's not. It could be done if people in positions of power cared less about their power and cared more about doing what would be best for everybody.
I would be in favor of it's public money. That's what you can use for your campaign. This is it. Each candidate for whatever race it is, this is, you get this amount of money. You both get the same amount. Spend it however you want. When it's gone, it's gone. I would be all for that instead of, you know, one company or one person giving hundreds of millions if they feel like it.
I mean, it's not far off from, like, again, the way it was set up was brilliant. There's checks and balances. There are a lot of different ways of getting representation. That's not the problem, but humans are the problem, because we all end up wanting what we want, and that's what we want, and that's all we're going to care about. If we're getting what we want, then we're not going to worry about what's good.
Is it sort of, and I'm going to bastardize this, but when you're arguing about religion, and someone will say, like, well, if there's a loving God, how can there be bone cancer? And what I had always said when I was very religious and have heard is that this is basically our world. Like, God created the world, but then he sort of stepped back, and we have the world that we have created, the world that we deserve, the world, the natural consequences of that. Is that analogous to politics? Because as you're talking, Wheels, I'm thinking, well, how do we make these guys be better? Because I've sort of given up on finding 435, whatever it is, good people who are going to do the right thing for the right reasons. Should we have to make them be better? Or is this simply what we have created through natural consequences?
Two parts. I mean, one is what Ron said. Too few people participate. And I know when we've talked about this with Hancock and Kelly, when you look at who participates in primaries, it's only the most active and most engaged people. And it's a very small percentage of people. They're the ones that pick what your choices are going to be when you do actually pay attention and go. And that's part of it. How do you convince it? Like, when you look at, when we had Kurt Barr in the other day, I think he said on the air, but it might have been off. But like, for the presidential election in St. Charles County, he said they got 76% participation, which is way above the norm in the country, right? It's 50%. But he said coming up in April, there's another election, and he thinks they're going to get 15%.
That is
nobody's going to pay attention.
When people, and it happens all the time, the average person complains, are these really our two best choices? And I always ask, if somebody ever says it around me, did you vote in a primary? Because if you didn't, and you didn't participate in the primary, you don't get to bitch about who the two candidates are that are left. Because like you said, 10 to 15%, less than 20% are participating in primaries. Well, if you want better candidates in the end, you better participate in the process all the way through, or you don't get to complain.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only way to get better people in position. And again, they're not all bad. But I don't hear anybody in the Senate or anybody in the House of Representatives saying, you know what we really need to do? We really need to rein ourselves in. We need to make the game fair so that, hey, my competitor has a chance to beat me. Because that's what they don't want. They just don't want to lose. And I understand it, because we all know how power is attractive, and we know that it's, look, that's a job with good benefits. It's a job with a lot of fringe benefits that go along with it. So I understand it, but that's where, if we wanted it, we could make it so, but nobody cares enough to do it.
What do you think the outcome would be? What's the logical outcome? Because people will talk about illegal immigration and say, well, you need to take away the incentives. You take away all these great things that illegal immigrants get, and then they'll stop coming to America. well, if we take away all the sweet stuff that people get in Congress, do you think that leads to better people who are running because they truly believe they're not just trying to become a millionaire through insider trading or have a lifelong pension or all the other sweet gifts that they get? Or do you think that that would just make it even worse?
You probably get worse talent.
But are we even getting good talent now?
Well, you're probably getting the best you're going to get.
But look at some of these dummies.
Well, of course, but it over...
But they're getting into it for, you know, the fame, the power, not the $150,000, $160,000, $120,000, whatever they're making. They're not getting into it for the money that the United States government offers them.
Right.
They're getting into it for the money and the book deals and the Fox and the MSNBC. The whole...
Board positions later
on. You could offer $10. There'd still be people doing what they're doing now with social media, becoming celebrities, getting hits on cable news. So I don't... That's different because the federal government is not paying our representatives so much that it's just a windfall. They're not getting that. I mean, they're not poor. I'm just saying that's not why they're getting
it. So we could do, like, if we could take over, we could take away all those things, and it's still such an attractive job.
Because we are the problem. Like I always said, if any branch of government really reflects the people, it's the House, which is the crazy one. It's the circus. You have serious people and you have insane people in the House. And there are a lot of reasons, right? Reasons why it's gotten more corrupt, more divisive, not only because the politicians can reach us directly through social media and fringe weirdos can reach out to politicians and maybe get a response, which makes them feel validated, but also there are cultural issues that maybe 50 years ago people agreed on that people don't agree on now, so they feel like that's a deeper divide. There's a lot of reasons.
This is probably an Amy question, but I don't know the answer to this. I should. When the Founding Fathers came up with the House and the Senate, did they just make that up out of whole cloth, or was that based on something like ancient Greece or something like that?
No, and I'm actually really embarrassed because I'm sure there are listeners now who are going to lose their minds because they didn't come out with the bicameral idea itself as if out of thin air. What the checks and balances was unique. Yes, they pulled from Parliament, the Houses of Parliament, right? You can also pull democratic ideas from ancient Greece. But then when they put it all together with the executive and the judicial branch, because the judicial branch is based on Israel and the judges and the system they had there. So you can pull from all these ancient civilizations as well as England and Parliament and so forth, that was later, but that's why people are probably really getting mad at me right now. But with the
Nobody
Senate,
cares.
With the Senate,
this is so embarrassing.
The Senate, the people did not vote for
senators.
Play
that eagle sound again.
Yeah. The people did not vote for senators,
okay.
Obviously, at the beginning. That didn't happen until later.
Yeah.
And I mean,
I know more than I did.
And there are other ways that we could do this, like people conceding that we shouldn't be able to just draw maps based on how safe it makes a candidate, that electoral maps should be done by an algorithm that looks at it in a mathematical way, that a certain number of people per square mile have to be represented or whatever, or you group it into groupings of like 100,000 people, whatever. I'm not saying that I have the mathematical answer, but those districts should be drawn by math and something simple. And not based on, well, my party is going to do better if we draw this line really squiggly through the county so that these liberal people and these conservative, like whoever it is, they're all done that way. If you do it that way and get rid of the Electoral College, which we don't need anymore, you're at least then giving the people the voice to do something where it's not going to be as complex or really just unnecessary.
153 DG asks, Andrew was just telling us that Fetterman is supposed to switch over to the Republican Party in the next couple of weeks based on credible sources. Are these the same sources that told you about the Krabbit Schnooks?
Yeah.
By the way, real quick, can I say something disparaging about a certain musical artist?
Sure.
I haven't heard a lot of Rick Springfield songs, but I just heard this one.
Yes.
I get excited. This is the same song as Jesse's Girl.
Yep.
I thought that was Jesse's Girl.
No, it's the exact same riff. It's the exact same, like, melody.
Wait, what song is that we just heard?
That song's called I Get Excited.
Oh.
And it sounds like a nice song, but I'm listening to it and I'm like, this is the same as his other song.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Fetterman said 2 days ago on the Party Switch thing that that is, quote, amateur hour blank.
Mm.
Uh-huh. And what,
what's
voting
the blank? What's
not,
the blank? What does it start
the
with?
The S word. Oh.
Uh-huh. And his voting Circus. Record his voting record is not amateur hour.
No, no, I'm just saying you don't have to switch parties to vote one way or the other.
Yeah,
you
I'm just saying.
Do whatever you want.
Dude's more way more of a Republican than a Democrat now. He got elected and rug pulled, and I think he's a nasty little pig.
What? Yeah. He's not little.
You don't like his hoodies, do you? You don't like his his sweatshorts.
Look, the hoodie thing has never been cute. I defended it when I thought he was on my side. I was like, "Hey, look,
yeah, there's some honesty.
Let the guy dress. Let the guy dress how he wants. I find it refreshing."
I'm gonna use that. I defended it when he was on my side.
I defended it when I had to.
I enjoyed the crab when I thought it was real.
Yes. Now I hate it.
I defended it when I had to, but now I'm like, all right, man, lose the slob act. Come
if
on
he's
now.
Gonna if he's gonna do the slob thing, I'd
at least vote the way I want him to.
Well, no, I'd appreciate if the shorts and the sweatshirts matched.
Like a monochrome.
At least do that. Don't be Adam Sandler out here.
Yeah, but everything goes with gray.
I think
like
it's
a good
gray.
Graufit. I'm a big fan of the Graufit.
What's a
Graufit?
Oh, it's an all gray outfit.
Oh, okay.
It's called
a
Graufit. Yeah.
One time.
And there's a blue one called a Blaufit, but I like the Graufit. Yeah, that's what it's called. It's I.
Why
I
would
promise.
Anybody call it that?
I think it's the Utes.
I'm fine with it.
Poor Amy, when Rachel's not here.
One time I went to
dumb Abe's. What's a Graufit?
I didn't know what it was.
The bicameral legislature.
What Graufit?
It was an ex-girlfriend of mine. I went to lunch with her one time, and I had I didn't realize it, but I had, I guess, gray shorts and a grayish shirt on.
Yeah.
She goes, "You look like a mouse." And I'm like, I can't. Damn it.
One time
I was so embarrassed.
One time I put on sweatpants and a hoodie that were two different shades of gray, and my wife just went, No.
I think you can't do that.
That's what I did.
Come on.
No,
you look like a mouse.
All gray, like the right gray. That's really funny.
What an insult. I still think about it. This happened like 15 years ago.
That's good. Wow.